This is the Nine with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Busy hour. Welcome to the Nine, live in the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. My name is Ryan Pinder. There's Maddie Rose over there. Maddie, we back.
Yes, sir.
The band's together. Everyone in studio for the first time. Love it. Can't wait for Rhett to get back in the fall, and then we'll really be back. Iconic, proudly owned and operated in Western Canada since 2008. Taking great pride in giving back to the communities we all work and live in. Diversity, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Ben Wagner of the Blue Jays broadcast team joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Ben, how would you describe, the performance of the city of Buffalo as hosting the Blue Jays relative to, expectations as things are going to wrap up there?
I think overall... Good morning. I think overall they did, but it was also a joint effort from what the Blue Jays were able to invest in the facility and working with local governments, because the county owns the stadium, you know, so there are multiple layers of approvals that have to go through. It's not just like Mark Shapiro sits down with Bob and Mindy Rich, who own the franchise. They have to get a lot of people involved. And of course, in a pandemic, as we know, because it's was so involved to get the Blue Jays back home. A lot of health people have to be involved. But if you look at what the Blue Jays were able to do, one, to upgrade the facility, get New York and Western New York specifically on board to create an atmosphere that wasn't available to them last year. But what they were able to do since moving into Salem Field at the beginning of June, limited capacity, and then little by little, they were opening up for more fans. We've seen this groundswell of support. And I don't know about you guys. I watch daily, and I keep seeing more and more Blue Jay caps, more and more Blue Jay jerseys, more Blue Jay T-shirts sitting in the seats outside a couple of games against the Yankees. And, the Red Sox, obviously, we're going to broker a lot of tickets in that market, too. But I think it goes hand in hand of the overall success, both from a Buffalo standpoint and what the Blue Jays were able to pull off with the help of Western New York.
Ross Stripling had some words on it. He said, it's crazy. It's going to be our third home in a season. I understand there's got to be some fatigue here, but there's also got to be, I think, a sense of relief for people involved that July 30 will be at the Rogers Center.
Yeah, it's exhausting. The guys are exhausted. Their families are exhausted. It's a lot of unknowns. It's a season of unknowns, right? And not that it should surprise anybody that these guys went into this, with some uncertainty, right? How long would they be in Dunedin? Would Buffalo be ready to go at a certain point? Would Toronto ever happen for a player that signed a one-year deal or multiple-year deals, for that matter, and people that have a lot of comfort? Jordan Romano, for one, loves being back home and pitching at Rogers Center and having all the comforts of surroundings and familiarity of places that he grew up with. It's taken a toll, and I hope at one point, the front office, the coaches, and the players that have gone through this get their due, because I don't think it's a story that's being told widely enough, really, how difficult this season was. They had to get out of Dunedin. Buffalo was a stopgap with the hope that, the trends would continue to get them to Rogers Center. But all of these moves it's mobilization. That's what it is. Every one of these moves are beyond a suitcase. I mean, it's 7 semi-trucks full of cars. It's 8 semi-trailers full of gear. And everything from computers that have come down from Rogers Center to assist the front office in the ticketing system, all the way down to, the weights that Vladdy's swinging around, as he makes this march towards becoming a Triple Crown winner. It's an incredible effort. And hundreds of people have been involved off the field. So being back home has certain rewards, and hopefully wins are just part of them.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Robbie Ray will go tonight. They'll go to play the Mets after this finale with the Red Sox. Just a thought on the season he's put together, and I guess maybe the level of surprise he opened the second half of the season after the All-Star break, starting the rotation, so to speak.
Yeah, Robbie Ray's a guy that likes to stay in line and pitch on his fifth day. So that was by design. He pitches that great game in Tampa, and that lines him up immediately to come out of the chute and throw against or get that first nod out of the All-Star break, right? And his season for me has been incredible. And I've been on the Robbie Ray train very early. And I know, especially in spring training, when I was talking to you guys, I'm like, Robbie Ray is going to be a really important piece of this puzzle here. And he hasn't let us down at all. I mean, with what he was able to do and change his body, the durability, he wanted to be stronger deeper into the season. And you're not only seeing stronger Robbie Ray deeper into the season, but you're seeing it game by game too. There's no let up in the velocity. The life stays on the pitches. He's basically doing it with two pitches, a fastball slider combination. And at times, a changeup, maybe a knuckle curve, just kind of flipped in there to keep guys honest. For me, his season is incredible. And if it wasn't for Trey Mancini, he would probably be the comeback player of the year. You know, Trey Mancini coming back from cancer and having an all-star caliber first half. There's a lot to be authored yet in this season, but Robbie Ray, for me, is the most important pitcher in the rotation right now for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I understand that Hyun-Jin Ryu is pretty good again his last time out, but you know, there was almost a full month where Hyun-Jin Ryu had not Hyun-Jin Ryu starts. You know, he didn't have the depth, didn't have the command, and Robbie Ray was out there just shoving night in and night out.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, Ben Wagner's with us. There was a bit of an update on Nate Pearson. He's sort of the forgotten man here amidst Alek Manoah joining the rotation. This is a guy a lot of people had penciled in to be a two or a three in the rotation. What is the latest? We'd heard he was seeking a fourth or fifth opinion for what was going on with his body, but it sounds like there's been a resolution of sorts.
Yeah, and still some uncertainty with the injury because it's classified as a sports hernia. But after a fourth different opinion, Ross Atkins told us yesterday, you know, he was really encouraged about what they have learned about the injury, how to manage it, and then now making the shift with Nate. He's going to go back to a mound within the next week, and then shortly thereafter start a rehab assignment through the different levels and work out of the bullpen. And that raises a lot of eyebrows because if you remember Nate Pearson coming out of the bullpen last year in the playoffs, it was electric. Five strikeouts and the six outs that he had to record, and I mean, it was dominant stuff. And more than anything, I've learned talking with people in the organization that Nate is the driver behind this. Sports hernia, you think, oh, shut down. You're going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, maybe even more than that to get ramped back up. And if you trust your body, but Nate says he can fight through this pain and he wants to be back on the mound. And that's why he's making this significant shift to see if they can manage it in one or two inning stints that they'll ask of him. So really important couple of weeks for Nate Pearson, really important couple of weeks watching it from Blue Jay perspective, because if you can get that back in there in that bullpen, obviously we know he turns into like the 2015 version of Aaron Sanchez. But again, the reason that Nate wasn't in the big leagues to begin with is he needs to command the strike zone, and he has to throw strikes. And if he's able to do that, obviously he ratchets himself quickly into a conversation to jump into the Blue Jay bullpen.
Yeah, no kidding. Who would have been the starter yesterday if they win? I know Manoah is on the DL. I don't know how serious that is, but that keeps him out for what, at least a week?
Well, let's talk about Alek first. He slipped on the stairs over the weekend going down and landed on his back, and it was really banged up. He missed his side session, and they knew that they were going to have to delay him. So Thomas Hatch would have come up from AAA. They bumped his start on Sunday knowing that Manoah was banged up, so gave him a couple of extra days rest. But with the rain that was rolling in, and now an opportunity to get one more gate at the Rogers Center, it was a pretty quick trigger that was pulled yesterday. I expect Thomas Hatch to be optioned back to AAA and continue to get stretched out. They may move him to a bullpen, but I just don't think there is a need for a long guy right now. But again, that is an option. That is an option for the Blue Jays if they want to have a long guy stick around. But, you know, Thomas Hatch is more of an insurance policy to be a starter and back up the rotation.
He is Ben Wagner joining us here on Sportsnet. Last one for me. July 30th is the trade deadline. I know Ross Atkins was asked yesterday. He's been asked about 100 times in the last few weeks, but about pitching help, he was kind of talking about that again. But, I mean, with how the team is set right now, do you expect there to be something done by Atkins here prior to the deadline?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really do. I think that a bullpen piece and maybe even a starting pitching piece could be jumped in there. I really do. I think the Blue Jays are going to be very, very active, and July 30th is going to be a monumental moment for the franchise, for the city, for the country, as the Blue Jays returned. And talking with people in the organization, they have not only a calculated plan to get to this trade deadline, but there's a lot of emotion that's involved in what this team has gone through the last couple of years. And while Ross Atkins and also Mark Shapiro are very calculated people, and they don't deviate from a plan either, there's a sense of reward to the people that have kind of been grinding through this thing, including the players, and specifically the players for what they've been able to do and position themselves. 1 year getting to the playoffs, this year right on the cusp of really making some waves and then driving through the second half. I expect the Blue Jays to be very, very active and make significant moves. And significant moves, in it might only be one or two moves, but significant pieces brought into this thing to solidify what should be a great run through the home stretch.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it might be anecdotal or coincidental, but in 2014, it was a deflated locker room, apparently, the likes of Jose Bautista, when there wasn't a big deal made, when they were flirting with a playoff spot. In 2015, quite the opposite. Their run differential was massive and yet hovering around 500, and then they had Tulowitzki and Price and just took off. I mean, just the psychological effect of adding a big player, that can't hurt this group that have really outperformed their record in a way.
No, look, I mean, look at the same scenario, right? You get to the trade deadline and you're going back to Rogers Center, and that place will be like a playoff game. I'm telling you, 15,000 people are going to sound like 50. I'm prepared for it. I know it's coming, and I'm glad it's coming because the fans deserve it and those guys deserve it. And if you were to add, take the specific names out of it. We all know who's in the rumor mill, right? We all have our wish list of players that could plop right into the rotation, lock up the ninth inning perhaps, and, you know, make a big difference. That is going to be an incredible dose of adrenaline into that room the minute those guys walk onto the field, you know, starting July 30th or August 1st. It's definitely on after that.
So are you heading to Toronto as well? What's the plan with you? I know Buffalo is the old home. Dunedin's now the home base. You and your wife have been bouncing around the U.S. and Canada the last few years. This is wild.
I wish nothing more than to be at Rogers Center on July 30th. There are a number of things that have to be approved, I'm told. So if I can be in the building, if I can be part of this whole thing, I will happily do so. The good news is, you know, I hope it is. I hope it is. We're just waiting on a couple of things, and we'll find out all together when people then make those decisions and then make those announcements. Hopefully can give me a little bit of a heads up, and then yeah. I'll let you guys know.
Got to pack some boxes, guys. Come on.
Yeah, when people you've never met give you permission to do things with your life, so that's how that'll go. Well,
yeah.
Good luck with that. And again, it's been a wild season for sure. And you now have me excited for the trade deadline, for whatever that's worth. I'm all hot and bothered.
Blue Jay
all of a sudden.
Listen, yes, you should be very flustered with this next couple of weeks.
Very good.
Blue Jay fans should be very excited.
Thanks, Ben. Talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm familiar this morning, all things on the Bluebirds, and a bit of clarity on Nate Pearson. That's interesting. We got all kinds of news coming out of Seattle. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's leaking about who was taken, who was not. The insiders are going to ruin this whole show tonight, aren't they? Yeah, I think they are. We know whether Carey Price will or won't be selected. We'll tell you exactly about that. And Luke Elvey on the other side as we recap the final major of the season and ask, hey, what's next? Oh, look, there's the Olympics. He's an Aussie living in Canada. See who he likes. It's 920 in the 9, Sports at 960 The Fan.
Back to the 9 with Ryan Pinder, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Now, there's some heavy metal for you at 924. How about that? Matt Rose, Ryan Pinder here in downtown Calgary. Let's head to the beautiful foot of the Rocky Mountains. Luke Elvey joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Make it a great night. You can choose from pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, or steaks and ribs. Order now through DoorDash or dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Where are you going there, Elvy? Pasta or wings? Pick one.
Steak and ribs. Can I do the steak and ribs? Just have an all-in meat fest.
That's right. Okay, you're going to get the meat sweats. You're going to pass out for a while in a couple hours, but absolutely, steak and ribs will let you do it. 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast, Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. How are you? What's new?
Still recovering from a pretty epic Open Championship, to be honest.
No kidding.
The last couple of days, trying to put in perspective of just how significant that win was by Colin Morikawa and what that will mean for the greater, you know, game of golf, because we've got a bright new star. We thought we had one when he won the PGA there at TPC Harding Park, but this has just absolutely confirmed it.
We chatted about him. He hasn't been on the scene long. He's incredibly young. You had said it is his mental composition, his steeliness, that is the most tigery trait that he has. Real dangerous comparing anyone to Tiger Woods, but the mental game has always impressed you, hasn't it?
Well, the very first time I met him was when he made his pro debut at the RBC Canadian Open of 2019. And I walked away from that meeting thinking, oh, my God, I've just met the oldest 20-year-old on earth. This man's maturity was better than mine. And he was 23 or 22 at that stage. He is so wise. He is so smart. He's a guy who really puts the power of a positive mind to work. It's been talked about a lot by the likes of Tony Robbins and many motivational speakers. But he puts it to work, and it's showing. He's delivered results. We don't want to compare him to Tiger. I get it. But he is the greatest iron player in the history of the game, second only to Tiger. He's won 5 times in less than 50 starts on the PGA Tour,
wow,
including 2 majors, second only to Tiger. These are things that are starting to happen that go, we should take note. We should absolutely notice him. He might not be Tiger, but he could be the best since.
Now,
yes, Rory and Jordan and all these other young guns that have come in and done great things, it's impressive, but he's even better.
So what is the significance of a guy winning his first Open Championship? Because we talk about it at the Masters, it's a course you need to know inside out. You know, you need to play a bunch of times there before you have success, typically. But the Open moves around, and there's a lot of guys that haven't had a lot of track record in a lot of those courses. Like, is that a big thing for you or not, that in his first Open Championship, a totally different environment, a tournament that feels like no other, conditions and a style of course that isn't terribly common for what they play on the tour week to week, how impressive was that to you?
Extremely. He played his first ever type links golf in Scotland the week before. It's not really a links golf course, the Renaissance Club, but it's, you know, it's got its challenges, and he finished dead last of those that made the cut. So in the space of a week, he worked out how to play links golf. Now, yes, we didn't get the wind and the rain and those, you know, true links conditions that we're used to. I mean, it was 80 degrees and a picture-perfect day on Sunday. Light winds, and the players should just get after it. But he hit the shots better than anyone else. And what he did do was he made the putts when it mattered.
Yep.
And that is such an important thing. And, you know, this guy, I mean, he's almost battled the yips this year on tour over the short putts. That's how bad some of these putting weeks have been. But if he putts well, he wins. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, because he strikes it so well. I know, I agree with that. I think, you know, at one point, I think Connors was only 2 back. It just eagled 7. And you had Oosthuizen in there and a few other big names near the top. And then Morikawa comes out, and it's, I think it was bang, 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 birdie, 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 and it was just like, okay, taillights. This guy, he saw it, he took it, it's his to lose now.
That's right. He stepped up with everything on the line and got better. And people keep asking me, will Louis ever win another one? I don't know now. He's had so many chances to win, but the one thing that we have noticed over the last half a dozen years of his near misses in majors is while he keeps putting himself in position, he doesn't close. And there's 2 types of people in sports. Those that get better when the pressure is at its greatest, and those that wilt under the hottest of intense pressure. And unfortunately, that's describing Louis. The last statement and the first statement describes a Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, no kidding. What a special time in the sport. Pretty impressive. Mackenzie Hughes has ended up being the top Canadian, but there was 2 in the top 10 for the bulk of Sunday. Just a thought on the Canadian contingent. We had Mike Weir earlier on this morning. He's committed to the Shaw Charity Classic. I want to talk about that. But this generation that watched Mike Weir win the Masters in 2003, they've arrived.
And delivering in big events. Remember, Connors,
all 4 majors, you know, right? There's been Canadian content on Sunday, or at least a 18-hole leader after Thursday at the PGA. Like, it's been good.
Right. And this is what is so exciting. Connors, top 10 at the Masters, the first round leader at the PGA. He was in the thick of it this time at the Open. Mackenzie Hughes got hot at the US Open, stunned everyone, then backed it up in the very next major. These are 2 great players who are stepping up on the world stage. They're just getting better. They are building their confidence, and they're rising. And it's great. It's exciting to see. It's exciting for every Canadian. We had 11 Australians in the field at the Open. We didn't have one in the top 20, not even one in the top 25. Yeah, Cam Smith wilted on that final day, but it goes to show you, while your contingent might not be the biggest, it's certainly strong, and that's exciting for the game.
Yeah, and bigger than it's ever been from this nation, to be sure. We're seeing 6, 7, 8 Canadians in the same field at PGA events. That'd be unheard of 10 years ago. Those two will actually go to the Olympics and represent Canada as well. Just a thought on the tournament and a thought on the chances the Canadians have, because, you know, it isn't the deepest group in terms of the country, but my goodness, those two guys, they're in real good form right now.
Yeah, they've picked the right time to get hot, and they could absolutely snatch a medal. There's no question. You know, you could have it both female and male Olympic medalists with Brooke Henderson. So the golf course is a good one. Japanese golf is great. There's a lot of fantastic courses. The Olympics, for me, is a tough sell. I've always said if the Olympics is not the number one thing in your sport, it shouldn't be in the Olympic Games. I understand they want to bring golf in to grow the game, and that's terrific for the game globally. But stop just serving up a 72-hole stroke play event. Give us something different. The game can be played in so many different formats.
Yep.
Make it a mixed competition. Make it a mixed male, female, pros and amateurs. Showcase the greater good of the game, because it'll never be what the four majors are.
It's a good point.
Give us something else. Yeah. We need something else to get excited for it, because I find it's going to be just another event. It's not something that stands out.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And I think with some of the players declining to go, we're starting to get the sense that the way you feel, you're not the only one. There's some players that are saying,
You heard Rory McIlroy on Monday say, if it wasn't for the sake of the game, I would not be going. There is nothing about this Olympics, golf in the Olympics, that is inspiring to me. I'm not desiring to win this gold medal. I'm doing it to grow the game. That's the whole reason why I'm going.
Interesting.
Now, if that's one of the most open and authentic and genuine people this sport has, listen to him. If you run this game in the world, if you're part of the International Federation of Golf Tours, listen to your elite players. They're asking for something more, and you're not giving them what they need.
Mike Weir, Shaw Charity Classic, August 11 to 15. That's fun. He's really turned his game around the last couple of years. It was a rough stretch for a while. We chatted with him this morning. It's official. That's a nice name to add to a tournament that everyone is very excited will be back after not going last summer.
Yeah, how good for everyone in the city of Calgary to be able to get, you know, some stars of golf back in that, you know, in the city, to get some atmosphere going again. You've just had Stampede going on, which is great. You know, it's not quite how it used to be, but things are growing again and building. And, you know, the borders opening up on August 9, how good's that? And, you know, things are heading in the right direction. But when you've got the nation's all-time great in Mike Weir coming to play in the event, it's phenomenal. And he's such a brilliant human being. You've got, he'll be the President's Cup captain for the international team when Canada hosts the President's Cup here in a couple of years. There's, you know, we talked about it with Mackenzie Hughes and Corey Connors. There's so much good stuff happening with Canadian golf, and this just feels like another part of that snowballing of positive momentum.
No question. Okay, so where are we at on tour here? Some guys are going to be heading over to Tokyo soon. We have finished all the majors. I guess now we start to focus in on FedEx Cup points race as we get closer to the stretch. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's only three events to go before the playoffs begin. And yes, some will be at the Olympics, and others are, you know, going to probably play that WGC in Memphis, and then it'll be showtime. So things heat up here pretty quickly in terms of deciding who won the year long. But I think with the major season we've had, golf has already peaked. It's hit its peak. We got the crescendo last week at Royal St. George's with Colin Morikawa. It'll go down as one of the all-time great major seasons. Now, we got to watch 7 majors in the space of a year. That was enormous. Now we have to wait, you know, some 260-odd days until the next one rolls around. But, yep, someone's going to walk away with $15 million being the FedEx Cup champion.
That's all right, eh?
Someone's going to win an Olympic gold medal, and, you know, there'll be lovely stories to tell. And that, I think that is the joy of the game, that it keeps rolling on like that. Well, what I will say is we've got a Ryder Cup to look forward to here in the end of September, which that to me is the next big thing in the game of golf.
Yeah, that's fair. Those are always fun. And yeah, the storylines, the momentum, the crowd's involvement, that just That feels like golf on steroids. It has an energy about it that as to your point earlier, it is not another 72-hole stroke play tournament.
Correct. And it's basically, you know, an AFC or an NFC championship match.
Sure, yeah.
Played, but in golf. That's the kind of energy it is, because people are cheering for their team, and every putt and every shot just seems to have that little bit of extra sauce on it.
Great chatting, Luke. Appreciate the time, as always. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, mate. Thanks, Ron.
See ya. There he is, Luke Helvey. CanGolf.com is the facility he's building in Cammer. More on that when we chat with him later. And, of course, all kinds of broadcast teams with Fox, CBS, wherever they're playing, he's doing the work. One of the best in the biz. We've got news from regarding Seattle, Matty. You ready for this? They will not select Carey Price.
Oh. Okay.
Looks like, Hayden Fleury is the guy that could go?
Kale Fleury. Hayden Fleury plays in Carolina, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's the one. My bad. It is Kale Fleury that was Montreal. That's great.
Hayden Fleury might get picked too.
A lot of Fleury's out there. Theo's also available as a UFA if they're looking for another.
Ryan, Hayden Fleury plays for the Ducks.
There you are. And Theo is still a UFA. What else have we learned here this morning? It sounds like the Tarasenko was not the selection off the Blues roster, although that is still something that could happen. They'll just trade for him.
Sounds like Vince Dunn.
This is what I had forecasted, that, okay, yeah, it is going to be done. And then if they want to trade some of the picks that they'll recoup later to get Tarasenko, eat some salary, move him, that would be a move you could pull. They also might not want any... They might just want max flexibility. No, we're not gonna have any dead money. We're not gonna eat any money. We're not here to help other guys. Let's worry about us being competitive first. And so I suppose that would lead us to believe that Dunn's in, Oleksiak almost done, Larson's there, Giordano's going there. That blue line's coming together pretty nicely.
Sounds like Cole Lind will be the selection out of Vancouver. Sure. Jared McCann out of Toronto.
Not Alex Kerfoot. Which is an interesting development. McCann, an analytical darling.
Oh, another one from Frank. Here we go.
We got another one. You got one? You want to hit me with
the break? Three goaltenders selected by the Kraken are going to be Chris Driedger, who we know.
Yep.
Vitek Vanacek out of Washington. And Joey Decord out of Ottawa, as it sounds like Kaapo Kähkönen is going to stay with the Wild.
Wow, how about that?
That was actually from Russo a little bit earlier on, okay, but good. Frank's saying Joey Decord. That's the interesting name in there that we hadn't really heard much about.
Well, they have to take someone from Ottawa. So the expansion list is no good. They thought maybe we'll take a flyer on one of these young goalies. Yanni Gord reportedly selected by Seattle. He's a guy that's going to get a lot more ice and time to showcase his game. Wow. This is a lot, isn't it? Whew. All coming in. Are they going to save anything for 6 o'clock?
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I was expected to have this big night. I get to watch all the selections. I'm going to be looking for clips for the show tomorrow.
It's all already done.
I'm going to bed at 6:30. Yep,
I want to watch Marshawn Lynch tackle Alex Kerfoot off a boat, and then out comes Jared McCann. If they could set that up, I'm in.
By God, that's Jared McCann's music!
I'm just here so I don't get fined. 9:38, we come back with the Pinder Report. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The 9 with Ryan Pinder continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
9:42. Be locked in today. We'll have a continuing coverage of expansion draft day. Seattle will announce their roster at 6 p.m. tonight. We've got it on these very airwaves. Our coverage of the Seattle expansion draft brought to you by Adrenaline Source for Sports, 9309 McLeod Trail South. New models of all your favorite skate brands, custom fit on site. Check them out. Here's the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Oh, it sounds good in studio, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
Haven't heard that one there. Oh, wow. Look at that. What a day we've got today, eh?
Huh.
What a day. What a day. The NHL expansion draft goes tonight as the league is set to welcome their 32nd team.
Seattle.
Who?
Seattle. Seattle.
Right. That's the team.
Seattle.
And so also make sure you get ready for this to get really
annoying.
Release
the Kraken.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun.
The Kraken!
It's going to be a lot of that.
Right? I mean, it's, yeah.
Release the Kraken!
Just everything.
Yeah.
And people are already making a let's get Kraken joke.
The Kraken.
Yeah, we get it. It's going to be hosted by someone called Chris Fowler, Dominic Moore, and Kevin Weeks. The broadcast will also feature Seattle locals, including Kraken season ticket holders, construction workers from the Kraken's new home, Climate Pledge Arena, and iconic locations like Pike Place Market, Seattle Aquarium, Space Needle, and Mount Rainier. I'm going to pop some tags. That's right. Only got $20 in my pocket. Watch the F-bomb. Yeah, Macklemore's going to be there, apparently.
Is that who that was?
I was here at 5:30, so yes. I know Macklemore is there.
I think we need to keep the, even though it's like a decade old, this is chicken. I'm hunting, looking for a comma. This is awesome. I feel like that's a clip we'll be able to use in some way.
This is chicken awesome.
Yeah.
Rooster awesome. The Marshawn Lynch, Skittles guy.
Yeah, that's
just there to not get fined tonight. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, it'd be good to see him. Sean Kemp. I wonder if his 18 children will be there. No word on the press release about that.
No.
But he'll be there. That's good. And we'll take you there at 16. It's also on Sportsnet 1.
I'm here, so I won't get fined.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so let's get to some gossip now. Talk about stupid celebrities in Seattle. Who cares? Oh, wow, there's a coffee shop here. Great. Let's talk about hockey, Dean. Sounds like Carey Price is still being discussed internally by Seattle's brass. That despite rumors that the Kraken are closing in on a 3-year, $10.5 million pact with Chris Drieger, the former hitman. You gonna spend $15 million on a goalie run? On two goalies? You gonna trade one? Would you? They actually gonna take Price? That would be wild. Like, I'm on Team Chaos. That means that I have to be cheering for Price to Seattle now.
They need three goalies too, right?
They'll probably select five and try to swap a few more around. Yeah, and the Kakinen in Minnesota would be the young guy that you could probably try to bring in.
Vanacek in Washington was great this year.
Lots of UFAs, I think 20-plus UFA goaltenders.
Mm-hmm.
The likes of Halak and Rask and Freddie Anderson, on and on and on.
It won't be an issue. They have to have, 20 players at least with a contract? You can't have just UFAs, RFAs. You need to have 20 guys.
30 selections, rosters of 23.
And I believe if you were going to select one of those RFA UFAs, you have to have that deal in place as well today.
They have that exclusive negotiating window. So if they select a U or an R, they'll have time. And if it doesn't work, that same UFA, like let's say, I don't know, Gabriel Landeskog, well, he'll just go to market on the 28th if he doesn't get that done with Seattle.
Right.
Right. That would be something, man. Landeskog?
Yeah.
Look at this guy walking in like he knows how to fix a transmitter.
Jeff.
We'll move along. The Flames are expected to lose Mark Giordano. somebody laughing. One guy that won't be taken by the Kraken is Kirill Kaprizov, Dean, because he was protected by the Minnesota Wild, but it sounds like he's not the only team that Kirill is pretending he'll play for next year, as CSKA Moscow has offered him a contract. Now, given how good he was in the NHL in his rookie season, winning the Calder, probably would be the expectation he could be the highest paid player in Russia if he stays in the K.
Because I saw he's in Moscow. And he trains in Moscow.
Russian.
And the CSK is in Moscow.
Great city, I'm told.
Huh.
RFA, a little leverage for the kid. Sounds like he's sort of angling for a 3-year deal that would give him a UFA status quicker. The team wants 8 years. That'd keep the cap hit lower. And of course, all the cap space in the world this year have the Wild. And then years 2, 3, and 4 from now, very tough as the buyout's quite punitive for Suter and Parise.
That's right.
Any other gossip you got for the expansion draft?
Well, there was a thing floating around yesterday that Philippe Deneau, leaving Montreal and may have already signed as a UFA with the Kraken.
Really?
But that was poo-pooed by some Eric Engels and others in Montreal.
Well, if Engels doesn't have it, it's not happening.
What else have we seen? Well, the Chris Drieger, like you mentioned, it's a matter of do they pick him today and sign him, or do they wait until free agency hits and sign him? But it sounds like either way, he's going to be a member of the Kraken.
I'll wait till the 28th then. Don't waste your pick.
Why
waste
your pick?
You know you're going to get him. Now, what happens if someone on the 28th says, hey, Chris, we'll give you another million
we'll
to knock
$100 million.
$100 billion. Other gossip from Elliot's notes put up on Sportsnet.ca last night. Taylor Hall and the Bruins making some progress on a deal to keep him there longer term, or at least beyond just that rental from last year. And Patrick Laine apparently opened to playing for his qualifying offer of $7.5 million.
That's good of him.
I mean, it's kind of like you, when your deal runs out, you're just happy to tack on another.
I don't need a long-term one if you want to just pay $7.5 million for another year, I guess. I would kind of like that stability that you don't get, I guess, with $7.5 million, but it's the price I'll pay.
Fair enough. That's the NHL story. Finally, Yannick Weber's retired, Dean. I know that's a tough one for you, especially.
I don't know who that is.
13 seasons in the league. 499 games for the Habs, Canucks, Predators, and Penguins. Yannick Weber, he's Swiss. Oh, played two games for the Penguins last year prior to being assigned to the taxi squad, and he'll go home to play in Switzerland.
Shea's older brother?
Shea's from Sycamos, I think. It's not in Switzerland.
I don't know.
It's not Lausanne.
Good pull.
I just, Burn. Lugano.
Look at you. Stop showing off.
Neuchatel. That's right. I puked all over someone's floor.
Baltic region?
It'd be central. I don't know. The Alps? No, the Alps. Andes? Himalayans.
Yeah, who the hell knows? You know,
I don't know.
You don't know.
Nobody knows. No idea. They didn't play yesterday. Jays and Red Sox rained out. They'll make that up with a doubleheader on August 7th. Extra game in Toronto. There's your silver lining.
You must be excited.
Well, get me out there. I got a big 40th birthday coming up, and I'm not even looking for a gift. So send me to Toronto to watch the Blue Jays.
Okay.
Get blind there. That'll be good. One of those 15,000 hooligans. That flight deck's the place to be July 30th.
Is it going to be hard to get tickets? Because they're not going to.
15,000, yeah.
Right?
I mean, their season ticket base would be well beyond that, I would think.
Yeah. So,
now, you hope that it's okay, everything's great. Now we go to 25, and now we're up to 40, and then it's a full house. But it's also, things have been slower moving in Ontario. They're not doing stampedes in Toronto.
And is Trudeau going to be there with one of those clickers in his hand, counting how many people come through the turnstiles?
Doesn't sound like he'd be the guy with the clicker. But
could 15 be maybe 16 or 17.5?
There would be 15,000 people with clickers counting people going in. That's how he would do it, I think.
It's how he would do it.
Today, Southpaw Tight Pants starts. Robbie Ray will close the set against the Red Sox. Been great for them. ERA under 3. Garrett Richards for the Bo Sox. 507 Sportsnet West at Toronto 4 back in the second wild card. It's funny. Yankees having a tough year. Blue Jays, everyone very optimistic. Both 4 games out of a wild card. You'd think one game's 10 under, right?
You would.
It's just weird. Because you thought the Yankees would be good. They haven't really been good, and it feels like the Blue Jays have been good, but they really are only, what, 5-6 games over 500?
Well, it seems like Garrett Cole's finally figured out how to throw without
cheating,
crazy glue on his fingertips, so that's good.
That's going to help. He's not really the problem. I can't name the rest of the rotation that's probably the problem.
Yeah, it's not great.
Mm. Nate Pearson update. We just chatted with Ben Wagner earlier this morning, and the top pitching prospect in baseball not long ago was at a real tough campaign trying to figure out what they thought was, a hamstring issue, and then another doctor, and they got a fourth opinion. We're making fun of them. We're calling them soft. Well, they found something.
Sports hernia, you think, shut down. You're going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, maybe even more than that, to get ramped back up, and if you trust your body. But Nate says he can fight through this pain, and he wants to be back on the mound, and that's why he's making this significant shift to see if he can manage it in 1 or 2 inning stints that they'll ask of him. So the reason that Nate wasn't in the big leagues to begin with is he needs to command the strike zone, and he has to throw strikes, and if he's able to do that, obviously he ratchets himself quickly into a conversation to jump into the Blue Jay bullpen.
It's weird. He's never really struggled with walks in his career. This year's been different. It sort of lends itself to something not quite being right with the body. Would be nice if he could be an effective arm out of the bullpen, though. That's one of the areas they're trying to improve. Let's go to the NBA. Look at this. Now, first off, crank it. There's nothing better than this song. We had Patrick Dumont last week when Maddie was on vacation and you were on vacation. We're goofing around the 5:30. And to close the 5:30, we played your tantrum of the outtakes from recording studio over Round Ball Rock, or which is this called, I believe. It was phenomenal. Really special stuff. Yeah.
Don't need that.
Giannis and the Bucks NBA champions, boys.
Paul gets it into Booker, who wheels for 3, missed it. Contested rebound. P.J. Tucker's got it. He'll run out the clock. 50 years in the waiting. Giannis Antetokounmpo scores 50 in an MVP performance, delivering the 2021 NBA championship to the Milwaukee Bucks.
That was special.
Antetokounmpo.
Sorry, one more time there.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
What?
Wow, Tuck-a-tana-tana-tu.
Can I buy a tea?
You got Tuck-a-tana-tu.
You got about two or three extra in there that you don't need.
Is that the same guy, the chef of Alovalova?
Tuck-a-tana-tu.
These Aussies got to figure out their names. Guys, hello. Pretty impressive performance.
Dennis Shapovalov.
Not even close on that either. It's the same guy. How's that guy still have a job after the Shapovalov? Come on. 26-year-old Greek freak, 50 in the win. They come back from 2-0. The Suns were going to win this thing easy, remember? Yeah, Suns and four guy, tough for him.
Well, weren't they down 0-2 to Brooklyn as well?
They were, but at least in that one, it was like, uh-oh, Harden hurt, uh-oh. Yeah. You know, like, wasn't the big three. Drink responsibly, everyone.
I'm not drunk. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, there's like 70.
Gloria! Oh, yeah.
75,000 people outside.
Just a bunch of hammerheads.
Holy.
I think I got your number.
I do like that.
Gloria!
Never gets old.
It never does.
Just like Tentokotomato.
Just like you're in a bar.
Gloria!
Tentokotomato!
Tentokotomato.
Gloria!
I think I need a vowel.
I love gold.
Yeah, Gold Cup, Dean, Canada. Man, we got some tough injury news here. What's going on? First, Alphonso Davies, superstar, Canadian, not playing in the tournament. Took a knock in training back to Germany to get work done. And now they're losing more guys. Kyle Larin out with a leg injury. Now heading back to Turkey for treatment because he plays for Beşiktaş, a big program there. Club's already without Alphonso Davies, and now Ayo Akinola's out, and he's another striker. Who's left to score goals, Dean? They play Costa Rica on Sunday. I believe their nickname is the Ticos. That's what they think Costa Ricans call themselves in soccer.
I am the last person who's going to be able to help you out with this.
Very good. Now, Jamaica's the reggae boys. Uh-huh. They could play them later, potentially.
Okay.
And that's all I've got for you for golf.
I feel like that was enough.
That's probably too much. NFL, what do we got? Oh, White House visit day. Look at this. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, eh? Tom Brady in attendance. Now, he didn't go to the White House in 2015. Did in 2017. You can look up who was the president when for each of those, but whatever. Might have been tired. I don't know. He was there. Good sunglasses on. Looking sharp. Lots of jokes about Brady's age, Dean. And Brady even joked that not a lot of people thought they could have won. And in fact, 40% of the people out there still don't think we won.
I was at a wedding.
More news from the NFL. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. This saga continues to unfold. Rodgers apparently turned down a 2-year extension in the offseason that would have made him the highest paid quarterback in football history, which sounds really amazing, but every year there's a new record for a highest paid football quarterback in history. He just don't really want to be there, does he, Dean?
I don't know whether to respect him or what. He said he's not going back, and he's not going back. So I guess, again, when you have all the money in the world, you can flex like that, I suppose. But
and then the other part of the standoff that's interesting, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst said he has no plans to trade.
That's not how you do it.
Tuck-a-tuck-a-tama-tu.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
It's not the guy's name. It's not
September 9th is when the season starts.
Tuck-a-tama-tu.
We'll see if A.A. Ron is back with the pack.
A challenge flag. What the f***? Man, please.
Challenge flag. Former All-Star Stampeder and current Edmonton Erickson Elks O-lineman Derek has asked for trade, Matty. He wants to be released or let go. He signed with the Elks in January, and it was a contract with lots of performance incentives. Maybe he doesn't think he's going to hit them. I don't know. He's low on the depth chart of the Elks after they signed another former All-Star, Sir Vincent Rogers. That
he's
like
not even in Canada. He never came up to Canada.
So there you are. He wants a trade. It's not there. And not many performance incentives for not showing up.
hard to hit those when you're not there.
Do I get $20K for staying at home and not coming to camp?
No, that's not part of it.
Oh, I have to start.
Fire your agent.
Olympics opening ceremonies haven't taken place yet, but first events have already taken place. Dino, you're locked in on this. Canadian women making moves this morning.
Well, I couldn't believe it. Lubardius up in the middle of the night watching women's softball.
Drives it deep. Does it have enough? Yes, it does. And Canada will walk their way off to Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah, I actually can believe you'd be up in the middle of the night watching women's softball.
That sounds exactly I take that
what
back.
Be doing.
I love watching my country crush others.
The Canadian women's softball team, 4-1 winners over Mexico. Big win. They've got the Americans, who lost already this morning. Ooh. They got the Americans tomorrow.
That's a big matchup right out of the gate. And the women's soccer team, Evergreen, 1-0 Christine Sinclair at one point there.
1-1 draw was the
with
final.
Japan,
with Japan, correct. Okay. They'd be the host team.
Huge crowds. Not happening.
No.
At all. Hmm. And finally, we bring you something a little quirky, just because, you know, I know you like that, D.
Who wears short shorts? We wear short shorts.
Yes, the Norwegian beach handball team has been forced to pay €1,500 fine for wearing shorts instead of the mandated bikini bottoms during their bronze medal match. Yeah, sounds like they sought to wear something a little more comfortable rather than skimpy, which were designed to grow the sport in Norway. The men's uniforms already consist of shorts that are not too baggy and must be 10 centimeters above the kneecap. They do this in beach volleyball, too. They've mandated, like, short size.
Just when you feel like maybe society is moving forward, look how far we've come, and then you're fining women for wearing shorts that are covering too much.
Well, Dean, it's been fun. First time back in studio. That's what we call the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
David Dickinson will join us. He's the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders.
Does he wear short shorts?
I'll let you ask him.
Fair.
Frank Saravalli. He of the DFO hockey, whatever, what's he doing? Working for
Daily
whoever
face
it is?
Off.
Yeah. Has a report this morning that the Kraken are closing in on contracts with two UFA defensemen, Adam Larson of the Oilers, Jamie Oleksiak of the Dallas Stars.
Wow.
So that is those would be significant losses for both Dallas and Edmonton.
There's your Pinder Report. Yes, indeed, it is 4x4 for Adam Larson to Seattle. Oleksiak sounds getting close to them, if not official. And, hey, we mentioned Dave Dickinson. If you missed it earlier today, we chatted with the coach at 7:05. Check the website, sportsnet.ca/960. Rintoul and Sermon coming up. Expansion draft tonight at 6 right here, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.